This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And the kind of coach that your family doesn't mind turning their son over to.
Exactly. And that's why he can go into a living room and talk to a mama and get those good recruits, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's so much more than football. He was a player's coach, you know? I like to say that. And I didn't have many of those in my career.
Well, and when you get that chemistry, don't you think as a player, and you played, you know, 9 years, and as I said earlier before I had you on, the center might be the brains of the entire offense.
I like to think so.
I know you think that, but that's reality.
Right.
There's so much going on as the center that you have to retain, and you're basically the leader of that line, and the quarterback depends on you as well.
Right.
So there's a lot of thought. Everybody thinks that these linemen are meatheads, if you will, which is unfortunate, but, you know, that's obviously not the case.
Well, you know, the quarterback does his checkouts and checkdowns and, you know, is audible in. And when he makes his changes, then we have to make our changes on the offensive line. And the center's usually responsible for that. And, yeah, you're right. We're the smartest players on the field. Well, that's what my mama said anyway.
Well, of course she did.
She also said I had a face for radio, so.
No, I know. Yeah, you look fine to me, my man. All right, good afternoon to our three-county listening audience that we just flipped over to. We're in Hillsboro, Pasco, and Pinellas counties. And, of course, that network, now this is our seventh week of launching, where we reach over 4.5 million people on WTAN-AM 1340, 106.1 FM, WZHR-AM 1400, 104.3 FM, WDCF-AM 1350, and 102.3 FM. I'm Mike Ricker with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and I'm blessed to have Randy Grimes come down and spend some time with me. And your resume, my friend, we'll continue. So what high school did you go to?
Tyler Lee.
Oh, Tyler Lee High School.
Tyler Lee. There was two high schools in Tyler, and Robert E. Lee was one of them. John Tyler was the other.
Now, were you a multi-sport athlete?
Up until my senior year, yes. Believe it or not, I was even a state finalist in the 120 high hurdles.
That's where you and Barry have that commonality, a couple of track guys.
Well, things changed a lot, believe me, between my senior year in high school and college, you know, and running hurdles was not in my future.
But, brother, you had some wheels for an offensive lineman.
I had some wheels at one time, yeah, until I put on all that weight.
Well, you had to for that position. Now, what position did you play in high school?
My senior year, I played center and defensive end, but up until then, I was tight end and defensive end.
So you got to get the rock a little bit in your career.
I don't remember us throwing much back in the high school days. I don't remember too many big pass plays there, but no, I had a good high school career.
Now, when there's Cameron Wembley. Now, when you went to Baylor, could freshmen play?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I made the travel team.
I was going to say, did you make the travel team right away?
I was, you know, that was a big deal too. I wasn't playing a lot. I was playing on special teams, but at least I was in that atmosphere and in that locker room, and I got to see, you know, how the older guys did it, because I was still a freshman. I was still learning, you know, and I was always good at keeping my mouth shut and listening, and you know, I just absorbed all that first year, and it helped me the next three.
Well, you know, I've been fortunate since I moved down here. I did this in the Midwest for 20-some years. But Barry has introduced me to so many quality guys like you, and that's one of the things they say. And Cameron Wembley, I'll introduce you here. He played at Florida State and played in the NFL. He got to be on kickoffs his freshman year. He said, that's a big thing. You're working your tail off in practice. You've been accustomed to playing all the time in high school.
Right.
And you don't want to become a tackling dummy your whole freshman year. At least you know it's worth your while. Because you're going to get some PT on Saturdays.
Right. And, you know, I can remember going up against Singletary every day in practice.
Oh, my.
And, you know, he broke four helmets in his career, and two of those were on me. But, you know, that made me a better center, too. Even though I knew I wasn't going to play, somebody still had to go and work those guys out, you know, the linebackers and the defensive line. So every day, one-on-one with Mike Singletary, just, you know, lining up 4 or 5 yards apart and just, you know –
Oh, my word.
It was either grow up or go home, you know.
But
it made me a better center.
And he just seems like the kind of individual that, and I've been fortunate to meet his coach, Mike Ditka, several times, the kind of individual that wouldn't mind mentoring a cat, too. a young guy?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he was all about everybody getting better, and he was such a team leader. And, you know, that he's such a unique individual. You don't get to play with guys like that very often. I was really lucky.
All right. So you guys weren't in the Big 12. There was no
– No, Southwest Conference.
Yeah, it was the Big 8 then.
Southwest Conference.
Yeah. Southwest Conference had Arkansas was in it, right?
Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Texas, Houston.
That was a heck
Rice,
of a conference,
SMU.
Man.
Yeah, it was tough.
Oh, and SMU was
SMU,
a powerhouse in those days. They're on their way back.
Sure they are.
But unfortunately, you know, the
they don't call it the death sentence for nothing, you know.
No, and they did kill that program, but they're coming back up. I lived in Dallas during those years. But I tell you, one of the things that now – and as an old school guy, I'm older than you, and I don't like to see this conference integrity get decimated. But it's right. All about the almighty dollar now, as you're aware of.
Right, and you know Texas leads the way in that. You know, as far as trying to get the most out of their program. But man, I hope they're ready to not compete for a while, because right now they're not proving that they're even worthy of being in that SEC.
Well, look at Missouri when they made the move.
That was one team I thought.
You're not even dominating the Big 12.
No.
And you want to make that move?
Matter of fact,
you're the
redheaded stepchild, you know, for a long time. Arkansas, you know, they're still trying to find their way in there.
It's a tough go, man.
It's a tough go.
Oh, wow.
No, that's just one step under professional football there, that SEC. Oh, yeah. That's a tough conference, man.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. And the ACC right now is falling on hard times, and Cam played in that ACC. But when you don't have Clemson and Florida State and Miami –
Right.
No, they're not even. None of those teams are even in the top 25 right now.
Right.
Baylor's got a nice team this year.
Baylor's doing pretty good. Yeah. You know, I'm rooting for them.
Well, of course.
I'm not sure yet. You know,
your alma mater.
Right.
Okay. So
new head coach. You know, I hate that there's no consistency there. It sounds like the Bucks back in the 80s and 90s. You know, they've changed coaches so much.
Well, and then you had a nice career, obviously lifelong memories with some great human beings at Baylor. And then second-round draft pick.
45th player selected.
Which is very, very impressive, and especially for a center.
Right.
I mean, I saw that number. I'm like, wow.
I was the second center taken behind Dave Remington.
Were you really?
Yeah, that year, yeah.
In the University of Nebraska.
That's right.
I grew up 90 miles away from there, and I'm an anti-Big Red fan. Because I'm an Iowa Hawk guy, or then I'm an Iowa State, like my good friend here. But we just have this thing about that Missouri River.
Yeah.
You cross over there to Cornhusker land.
You're the enemy.
Oh, yeah. And that's sad. And poor Scotty Frost is getting it handed to him right now, the head coach.
I know.
Oh, yeah. So Remington.
But I was doing so good, yeah.
Well, we lost last week, and we were overrated. But, like as I said, Kirk Ferentz is a class act. And if you had told the Hawkeye fans right now, the beginning of the season, we'd be ranked number 11. They take it in a heartbeat,
and there's
a lot of transition there. So, you go to the Bucks.
Go to the Bucks.
And who was the head coach then?
McKay drafted me,
and then
I was going to have five more before my career was over.
Five coaches.
Right.
And was Culverhouse the owner?
Oh yeah.
I've had a lot of how to say this unique conversations on the air.
Uh huh.
With guys that played during that era.
Uh-huh.
And then when they sat down with me afterwards,
right.
Told the rest of the story about those years. So
yeah, they were lean.
What was it a shock to your system going from Baylor, where everybody's close and you know the coach, mm-hmm. to playing in the NFL, you know, essentially a new franchise still,
mm-hmm.
That didn't have a lot of success? Was that tough to mentally get your arms around?
Well, and you know, I can remember having the first conversation with my first big-time pro player. Leroy Selman had a locker right next to me.
Wow, you were fortunate there.
Yeah, and I remember the first conversation I had with him is, you know, I learned that football was not a game anymore. It was now a job. You know, it wasn't going to be that fun go to the sock hop after the Friday night football game we had in high school.
Sock hop, you're showing our age.
Right. Or even the Baylor where you go out with your family after the game. You know, this was now a job, and you had to treat it like that because there was always somebody trying to take your job and your livelihood, your income, everything.
Well, when you make that transition too, if you made the transition in 2021, there's pride in the Bucs organization.
Right.
They hadn't had enough success or even longevity or a fan base to have pride.
Right.
So you're basically playing for yourself.
Yeah, not well, I can remember in 82 after I got drafted by the Bucks, you know, thinking, wow, I'm going to a playoff team, because that was the 82 was a strike shortened year and they made it to the playoffs. So I was excited about going there. Little did I know what the next decade would hold, but still.
And you were there for 9 years of it.
Ten on the roster, and active for 9 years. So yeah, I saw a lot of it. And I always said, you know, we were snake bit. You know, we needed new logos, we needed new pencils, new
color
letterheads. We needed everything. We needed whatever that was.
Take a chalkboard and wipe it all off.
Just start over, because we were really snake bit and it was so tough to get anything going. And but like you said earlier, I've made some great friends, played with some great people, and I can't think of anywhere else that I would have loved to have raised my family like here in Tampa, Florida.
You know, you're listening to Tampa Bay St. Pete Sports Connection. We're having a great conversation with Randy Grimes, and I call him my executive producer, Barry Smith. And I always tell Barry, Randy, when I grow up, I want to be Barry Smith.
Me too.
Right. I mean, he's an Ernest Hemingway looking like he's fishing. Then he's with his kids. Then he and his lovely bride, Marianne, they go on a Griswold trip, you know, in a little motorhome. He doesn't even know how to drive it.
That's Barry.
Yeah, he's got something going on constantly.
You're right. He's a great guy. What a great job he's done in this community.
Without a shadow of doubt.
Oh, my gosh.
And I guess that was my point. A former Buck, but grew up in Miami, a Florida kid. Played for my Green Bay Packers. But the bonds out of that era of you guys in this community, I just get amazed when I meet them.
Right.
Because through all those tumultuous times, you guys circle the wagons emotionally with each other probably. Mm-hmm. Had to stay on the same page.
Yeah, there was a lot of crying, a lot of bleeding, a lot of huddling up together, and, you know, everybody had each other's six, because that's all we had back then. You know, and I think back, you know, we played in an era where we would beat the hell out of each other all week long and just hope that there was a little left in the tank on Sunday. You know, that mentality, I call it the Junction Boy mentality, where coaches think if you don't practice hard, you're not going to play hard. And so we would beat the hell out of each other training camp and then all week long during the season. And hopefully there was enough in the tank on Sunday. And, you know, I often think back, could I have had a longer career had I been able to practice like they do now, if I'd have had a better collective bargaining agreement that was protecting players, you know, during the week in practice. So, I think back about a lot of that stuff.
And people don't realize, and these guys have brought it to my attention, and I watched it, played college football, but we had 2 and 3 days, which was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe who told me, maybe it had been Barry. And then did you ever know Jeff Winans?
Oh, yeah. And
so,
Brandy.
So, Brandy's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Brandy would have been here today. She does the show with me quite often. They talked about McKay. And all of a sudden, you guys are doing – he takes the USC mentality and dumps it into the pro football. And he said – people are shaking their head going, what are you doing to us, man?
Well, what about Perkins, you know?
Ray Perkins.
And then he comes down here and we start doing 3-a-days during
training
camp. That's
what they told me. Yeah, Ray Perkins, 3 days?
120 degrees outside, and we're doing 3-a-days during training camp.
Were people dropping?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we didn't even have enough time for our equipment to dry in between practices. You know, we were wearing wet stuff every day.
Cameron, you need to listen to this one. Okay, so you were complaining about FSU. Tell them about when you had Perkins.
Perkins and his 3-a-days.
3-a-days for the Bucks in 1983.
In 110-degree heat at the University,
this is the pros.
University of Tampa.
He was complaining about 2-a-days.
Oh, my God. I'd have taken that in a heartbeat.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like a vacation, 2-a-days.
That is brutal, man. Oh, my God. 3-a-days Perkins. Then
yeah,
McKay.
And that's where I got that Junction Boy mentality, you know, because that's kind of that Bear Bryant stuff and everything that they went through. And that was Bear's philosophy, you know. If you don't practice hard, you ain't going to play hard.
And you may not live, and you may right. not see the next kickoff, but that was his mentality up on his perch.
Right. And, you know, I can think back of all the injuries we had during practice, you know, that were senseless. You know, guys that had to miss games because they got hurt in practice. And I can remember thinking, this is so stupid, you know.
Well, you know,
and we're all professionals or we wouldn't be there. So we're gonna get it.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me ask you this. And I'm sure you can remember them all. So you were there for Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there for John McKay.
Mm-hmm.
And then who was your third coach?
Lehman Bennett was in between John McKay and Perkins.
Is this your lovely bride?
That's it. That's Lydia.
Hello, Lydia. Thank you for letting him come down and spend some time on the air and share some of his fun history. And we're going to talk about what he's doing presently, too. Okay, so.
So, yeah, McKay, Lehman Bennett, Ray Perkins, and then Richard Williamson, and then Sam Weiss is the one who finally fired me.
Sam Weiss.
Sam Weiss.
Cincinnati Bengals. He just passed, I think, last year, wasn't it?
Yes, he did. Yeah. And so did Perkins just recently, like in the last 8 months, I think, somewhere like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Five coaches and
hey, I had six different offensive line coaches.
Oh, my word. Now, I got to ask you this. When an offensive line coach comes in, do they change the whole philosophy? Let's say that you didn't change one player in the transition from one year to the next. You think I would know this. From one year to the next. So you got everybody intact, but you get a new offensive line coach. Do they change the way that your schemes are?
No. He'll pretty Good. Much adopt. He'll adopt.
So that'd be crazy.
But what does change is the way they coach you and the way they grade you. And so, yeah, every new coach has there's something to have to get used to. But as long as it's not a head coach and you're changing the whole playbook, you're okay.
When you have a complete coaching regime change, does every coach get
everybody
whisked out the door?
Everybody.
All right.
It's a whole new playbook.
All right. Let's go back. One question, then I want to fast forward because I'm very, very impressed and intrigued about what your commitment has been of late. How many quarterbacks? Can you even count that high?
At least 10.
Oh, my.
Those, at least
give 10. Me some names.
Oh, well, you know, you had the throwing Samoan, Jack Thompson. You had Jerry Goldstein. Of course, DeBerg.
You had Steve DeBerg. He's going to be on in a couple weeks.
Good. Steve Young was there.
I forgot you had Steve Young from BYU. Did you get him as a rookie? Or did he come from USFL?
I got him from when he left LA Express.
Right? Okay.
And he was a great player and a great friend, too.
That
was one of those guys you want to come back to the huddle to, kind of like Steve DeBerg
and Vinny were.
Yeah, and just always in charge, you know, always wanting to make something happen, those kind of guys. And
did
as
you
an
have
offensive,
Doug Williams?
No, he left right when I got there. That's when him and Culverhouse had their feud, and he left. And
then
went
he went and got a Super Bowl.
And got his MVP and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so DeBerg, Young.
Vinny.
Benny Testaverde?
Benny came
oh,
in
my word.
My last 4 years. And, you know, there was a couple in, I can't even remember their names, but there was a couple guys that, you know, came in there and
came in for a minute.
Had a cup of coffee. Right?
That's a baseball term, man. Yeah. I used to be with the Chicago Cubs organization. The first time I heard that, I was like, what do you mean you want a cup of coffee? I got to get up the bigs for my pension.
I don't want to stay here long.
Well, we were close to having arena football become the AAA arm
of the
NFL.
Yeah.
I was heavily involved in the Arena Football League when it was in its heyday, the Kurt Warner world.
Right, right.
All right. I know this is a tough question to ask, but what's your favorite memory of your collegiate and your pro career, if you can think of one thing, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, and I don't think any of them ever happened out on the field. I mean, we've had some big wins, and we were in the Cotton Bowl, and we were in the Peach Bowl at Baylor, and even at the Bucks, we had some big wins. But you know, I think the best memories come from the locker room, and you know, most of those I can't share on the air. But you know, just being around the guys. And matter of fact, people ask me all the time what I miss most about football, and it's not the game. I miss the locker room. And
camaraderie.
The camaraderie, you know, like I said earlier, being with guys that have bled with me and laughed with me and cried with me and been to those places.
Are you talking about family?
Yeah, well, they are family. You know, yeah. They are family.
Well, an extension of Lydia, and I saw a picture of your beautiful family. So, you know, people don't understand that. I still have relationships with guys that I won a state championship with 100 years ago in Iowa and played collegiately with. Well, still, you know, you don't see him for years, but when you see him, it's just like yesterday, and that's like family too.
Right,
when you have a family reunion,
yeah,
people
I mean,
show up and you haven't seen cousin Vinny for 100 years. You're not sure you want to see him, but everybody still knows each other and commonality. I guess
I always say there's friends and then there's teammates, and that's another level up, you know.
Well, it sounds like, and my conversations with Barry, you guys developed a lot of friendships, and it sounds like you did at Baylor as well.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about 2021 and the direction that your life has taken. And again, I applaud you and the passion you have for it. I'm highly interested in that.
Well, and, you know, I told you earlier that the first conversation I ever had was with Leroy Salmon, and I learned that the football was not a game anymore. Now it was a job. And the second thing I learned from Leroy was that you do whatever you have to stay out on that field. And, you know, because I didn't want to be the guy who's always on injury report or always missing practice or always back in line to see the doctor, because, you know, that if you got that reputation, you were not going to last very long in the NFL. So, you know,
not for long, right,
NFL. So I started taking handfuls of pain pills to practice through those nagging injuries and nagging pains that I was having. I looked at it back then like a necessary evil, you know, because I wanted to be the best that ever played the game. I wanted to play the game forever. I was not going to let somebody else in my position. So those are ways that I justified it. And
well, you weren't the Lone Ranger, my friend. That was
I thought I was, though.
But that's the climate of our generation. I'll be 65 at the end of the next month. And even at the collegiate level, I remember, I was that D2 guy, and I had a banged-up knee. And here comes a team doctor right before the game with a cortisone shot. I said, no thanks. Didn't matter. Big game for us, North Dakota State. And plugs the knee. And next thing you know, I don't feel a thing. You know, this can't compare to anything you did. But I was talking to somebody about this topic the other day. My girlfriend, I said, I even experienced a little chump change D2 program back in the 70s. And here's these guys, you know, Randy Grimes, one of them. And I've had, you know, Brandy Winans tells me all the stories about Jeff. And many, many guys share their tragic stories. And the NFL, they didn't care.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the mentality back, you know. You remember the movie North Dallas 40, right?
Yeah.
Well,
course.
That was exactly how it was. And, you know, we even had a narcotics safe in the middle of our training room, and it usually was never locked. But if it ever was accidentally locked, we had three white guys that started on defense, and their jersey numbers were the combination to the safe that whole decade that I was there.
Seriously.
But, you know, the mentality was if they didn't give it to you or if you asked for it and they didn't pour it in your hand, then just go get it yourself, you know. So and I'm quick to never blame the Bucs or the NFL for my addiction and how things turned out with that, because I'm responsible for everything I put in my mouth. But the mentality of the NFL back then was they made it available.
Yeah, and that's one of the things Brandy and I've talked about, and I'm on your page, and I've had my own battles. And in my own family, my son, who was a collegiate golfer, had some surgery. He was playing in Kansas City at Rockhurst University. Had some simple surgery. Had nothing to do with his golf game, and he was a successful golfer. And deviated septum. They left the gauze up there, and he kept calling me. And he's kind of my softer son. The other one played college football. And he said, Dad, I got headaches. I go, tough it up. You know, I looked it up, called a buddy of mine, he's a doctor. He said, deviated septum, he should be fine. Well, they didn't know they left the gauze up there. They gave him Oxycontin back in his sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years of hell, I'll just say that from our family. So I anything that you are doing out there to promote and assist people, God bless you, man.
Well, it's such a family disease. It affects everybody.
I didn't even know what it was. I got a call from my ex-wife. She said, you need to get up here. I go to our old home, and I said, I'm going to Kansas City. Michael's got a tournament tomorrow. And then we're going to the Royals game. No, you're not. He is hooked on, and I'm looking it up. I call my friends, and they explain to me. I'm like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You kidding? I mean, I'd beat alcohol.
Hooked on drugs by a dealer in a lab coat.
You know? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So how many years did you have to struggle with this demon and then the difference you are now in many, many people's lives.
Yeah, and this went on, eight and a half years of my career. Matter of fact, that necessary evil that I was calling it, you know, really it was a full-blown addiction. It progressed to the point to where the last 2 years of my career, I was playing games in complete blackouts. I was taking so much medication.
As a center, too.
As a center, making calls, remembering the snap count, getting guys going in the right direction, doing everything that you have to do. I was doing it in a complete blackout because that's the insanity of this disease, and it progressed to that point. And then, you know, I can remember Sam Wise putting his hand on my shoulder and saying my services wouldn't be needed here anymore. And you know, I already had this raging addiction going that I've called a necessary evil, but now the fact that I didn't have that uniform to put on anymore, that I wasn't Randy Grimes, the football player anymore, that I didn't have that playbook to look at every Monday and that itinerary to go by, I struggled in the transition. You know, when I didn't have that identity anymore, I struggled for a long time. And when you put that on top of what I was going through with the addiction, it was just throwing gas on an already raging fire.
And
20-plus years I put this girl sitting to my left through it.
Well, God bless you. And
she's the real hero in this whole story. Yeah.
Everybody. You know,
and my kids.
Yeah, and your children. But you thank God every day. I know I do. Mine was alcohol. And I was in the bar business. I was in the pressure, and this was my excuse. I was in the pressure relate. I got out of that business when I was young. Then I was in the computer industry, made millions of dollars, lost every penny, and it was high rolling in the 80s and 90s in the computer industry. I had no passion for it, just to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you had to go out and wine and dine people, and did a ton of that. And finally, I said, "That's it. My kids are young. They were 2, 6, and 10." And the rest of my life, I said, that game is over. There's not one day I miss that. I can
awesome.
Show you that.
So you just put it down and walked away.
But at that time, you know, I have fallen a few times.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do thank God every day for my family's purposes.
Yes.
As you can.
Yes.
And you're lucky that lovely bride sitting to your left stuck it out with you, my man.
Oh, you're not kidding. Yeah.
You might have had
I gave her plenty of reasons to hit the road.
You might have had plenty of success on the field, but that was your most successful, and then your children without a shadow of a doubt. So when did you make a decision then to share your story and to people and make a difference, or certainly that was your objective, to make a difference in people's lives?
Right. Well, and like I said, I almost did run her off, but she was willing to make one more call for me, one more call. You know, she was so sick of me telling her that I'll take care of this, or I've got it under control, all that stuff. You know, she was sick and tired of that. But what she was willing to do was one more call for me. And back then, there was no resources out there for former NFL players. But whoever she talked to that day in New York at the league office knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. And that's how I got on an airplane September 22nd of 2009. And that's my sober date also. That's when I finally put my hand up and asked for it. 2009.
God bless you, man. We'll have you on the show every night in September. We'll have
every
fun.
Every 22nd, yeah, 22nd September.
And we'll 9/22. Remember, I'm older than you. And I stumble.
Only a few years.
I stumble and I fumble and I bumble quite often. But, all right, so you made that commitment. Then when did you decide to go out and shit, knowing that it's important to hear from a very successful collegiate and NFL player, that this can happen to you, and it happens to people. I know,
oh my gosh, yeah, it happens to everybody
across this country, unfortunately.
Right, right. You know, I can remember being—I went into treatment for 90 days, but about 2 weeks into the process,
90.
Yeah, I went about 2 weeks into the process. You know, I realized that not only could I do this, because really I was really scared. I didn't know if I was going to be able to complete it. You know. Not only could I do it, but I had to make it mean something. I had to make all the pain and misery and everything, the huge wake of destruction that I left back in Houston with my relationships and my job and my finances and everything, you know, were just destroyed because of addiction. And I had to make everything mean something. So that was kind of the birth of Pro Athletes in Recovery. I didn't know then what I was going to do with it. But I did know there was a lot of guys out there just like me, guys that I'd played with and against who were self-medicating the injuries they got while they were in the league, or mental health issues, and they weren't raising their hand. They were suffering in silence because they didn't know there was resources available, or pride and ego was keeping them from raising their hand.
Greed and ego take a lot of men down, unfortunately, and I'm a prime example of that in my past. Pro athletes, in addiction or with
Pro athletes in recovery.
In recovery. The, recovery.
.org.
Okay. So we're going to put a link on our website, and we're also going to because we have a partnership with the NFL Tampa chapter, which I'm enjoying quite a bit, and we're getting some great people to come down. None that have had such an incredible story as yours. And so are you taking this message across the country? Are
Absolutely.
You speaking?
Absolutely. And I got with the NFL and the alumni split back then, and they formed the Player Care Foundation. They just split in half, and half of it stayed the alumni. The other half was the Player Care Foundation. And through them and Pro Athletes in Recovery, we started reaching out to all these guys. We were helping hundreds and hundreds of former players. Guys were putting up their hands finally and asking for help because they realized they weren't alone. And then all of a sudden, Major League Baseball gets involved with it. You know, BAT, the baseball assistance team, you know, hockey, NBA, MMA, Jockeys Guild. You know, we were
helping. Need to get into boxing, brother. That's my background.
And, well, boxing too. And matter of fact, we already are with KO Addiction and Pro Box. You know,
I saw that. We'll talk about that in a minute too.
Yeah, yeah. So I work with a lot of former athlete organizations, not so much with current athletes, because current athletes, everybody has their own protocols team by team. But I work with a lot of former athlete organizations, and that's my passion. You know, I help anybody looking for help from this disease of addiction. I'll work with anybody. Lydia works with families. We love that part of it. But you know, being an athlete, that's where my passion lies.
Well, again, I applaud you. Now, these two paths have to cross quite often because, as I said, I've had Brandy Winans on the show, and she brought her book down here, The Flip Side of Glory. And the CTE world and addiction go hand in hand, don't they?
Right, they do. But you know what? I've got to be careful to not let guys and families blame everything
on CTE.
On CTE.
Like you said, if you're putting it in your mouth or you're taking a drink, just look in the mirror.
Right, right, because you're self-medicating, you know, and we have to remove that piece before we can see how bad the CTE or TBI is, you know.
So you say, hey, brother, we got to address this first, get that taken care of,
right,
and then we'll look at the neurological issues over here. These are the psychological and the physical issues here that you're so dang dependent on, and it's because of what you got upstairs.
Right, and a lot of families and individuals are quick to blame that on everything, you know.
Well, that's human nature.
Right.
You know, I was quick to blame the doctor that left the gauze up in my son's nostrils, but not 10 years later.
Yeah, yeah, know? We're always looking to blame. I used to blame the sun coming up for my problem.
why the hell did the sun come up today, man? Yeah, exactly. All right, now, how do people get involved or come see you? Do you speak in this area at all?
Well, it depends on what the event is. You know, I do speak. I spoke recently at several events. But, you know, you can get in touch with me on the website, proathletesinrecovery.com. You can find me on Facebook, randygrimespeaks.com, and, of course, White Sands Treatment
It looks
Center.
Really good. Tell you what, your presence on there, you guys have got a nice website.
Thank you. And we do some great work at White Sands, you know, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to put my athletes there, the therapist and the entire organization support me and everything that's going on, and I'm grateful for that. And our owner Gary Jonas, you know, he's also a boxing promoter, so he's really into the mental fitness part of recovery.
Well, I'd like to hear that. You mind if we transition now to this boxing piece?
No.
I pretty much have been around boxing for 25, 30 years. And when I left Iowa 5 years ago, I was still involved in the Golden Gloves, vice president of that, USA Boxing, everything. For some reason, in my generation, boxing was cool, you know.
It was.
Yeah.
And think of all the great fighters back then.
But that way, especially in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I'm a self-proclaimed historian on that. But a sport that I did not let my sons get in. I put them in the gym, taught them how to hit a heavy bag, all of those things. But golf, basketball, none of these things are to get you to look like your old man, have hands like hamburger. But I still have a passion for the sport.
Right.
And I'm not a big MMA guy because it is taken away from the sweet science.
It's not the sweet science.
Exactly,
right.
as I like to allude to. But great boxing history down there. So tell me about I saw Plant City.
Plant City, that's where the facility is.
Yeah, explain everything to us.
Yeah, man. Yeah. White,
I was really looking forward to this piece, dude.
Well, White Sands has three inpatient treatment centers. You know, one of them's in Plant City, one of them's in Hyde Park, and one of them's down in Fort Myers. But at our Plant City location, we have a regulation size, not only a boxing ring, but also facility. And it's set up to
look world class.
It is. It's set up to have sanctioned fights. We live stream that stuff all over the world. You know, because you know how boxing is. Everybody loves boxing all over the world. And we have some huge events about every 6 weeks out there. So we're excited about that. A lot of the guys that Gary promotes, they also train there, obviously, but they also work there. You know, in different types of jobs. So it's exciting to have that. And our nonprofit that's associated with White Sands is called KO Addiction. So Gary's promotion business is Pro Box, but our nonprofit that goes with that is KO Addiction.
Well, I would love to meet.
I want you to come out there.
Yeah, I do. I got involved in Pro Box promotions for a while in the Midwest. That's a unique business. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I learned a lot going from USA Amateur Boxing. And then representing some cats in that.
Hey, have you ever seen a bare knuckle fight?
Well, yeah, in a lot of parking lots. I was in them. I thought I was so bold I'd be taking guys on your side. That's the closest to bare knuckle.
That was the alcohol.
Yeah, you think? Yeah. I think I was 0-24. But, yeah.
That's funny.
But I saw that facility. I thought, wow, you know.
Yeah, I want you to come see it.
Yeah, that's not the Rocky Balboa type.
No.
And that's not the kind I had up in Iowa. We had a partnership with the Des Moines Police Department. And it was just, it was my idea to bring these kids in, you know, fold themselves, make it a little dingy, you know, the one light bulb
right,
look.
Right.
They're like, this is an old man.
Old school.
Yeah, this is old school. I was like, I'm Mick. I'm Mick from Rocky. Now get your ASS over there and start hitting that bag.
Hey, you would be surprised at how our clients, you know, take to all that. You know, they love hitting the bag. They love hitting
the
speed
workout.
Bag. It's a great workout.
That's the majority of my morning workout. If I stay home, is just
and it's healing too. Punching the bag.
Oh, yeah. In fact, my ortho said, I said my shoulders are shot. He goes, "Well, you've been hitting a heavy bag for 40 years." That was my workout. They're like a buffoon.
That's right.
But I still, once it gets in your blood,
the
rest of it. All right, I'm looking forward to that. We're launching a new Tampa St. Pete video channel. So anything that we can do, if you've got video of a speaking engagement, because we're going to do lifestyles.
Good.
We're doing lifestyles. We're going to do small businesses. But I also wanted to create a boxing channel because they've got a great club down here, the 49th Street Boxing Club.
Mm-hmm.
And Pernell Whitaker came out of here.
Oh,
and several really solid.
Well, I definitely want to get KO Addiction and Pro Box involved in that.
I've got that down on my to-dos already.
Good, I
assumed it would go that direction.
And I want you to meet Gary, too. I want you to come out there one day and see the facility and meet Gary, and y'all can talk boxing.
All right. Would you throw the mic over to Lydia? I hate to do this.
Oh, here we go.
This will just take...
Now, she's got a face for TV.
TV and radio. This will be... Well, first of all, dear, I saw a picture. You have a lovely family.
Oh, thank you.
That was a great picture that I saw. And welcome to the great side of Florida.
Yes, we're happy to be back.
Well, you know what? As Barry Smith had said to me, one of the things that Randy's enjoying is driving up and down Gulf Boulevard. Well, I live on Gulf Boulevard, and being here 5 years, coming down for 20-some, I drive it all the time just to go over John's Pass just to look at the scenery and then come back home. And my friends do the same thing from Iowa. You know, But it is gorgeous over here.
It is.
Now, what year did you guys meet?
Well, we met our freshman year, the first day.
You're a Baylor Bear, too?
Uh-huh, 1979.
Wow, what a love story, man.
Got married in 1982. Before our senior year.
Well, you were a smart man back then. Now you're a smart man, and she is a great woman.
Well, thank you.
How many children do you have?
We have two. We have a daughter, Emily. She's married, and we have she has three kids.
I saw. I wondered
what.
Yeah, yeah.
And then our son Brady, he's married and has one.
Where does he live?
He lives in Kigali, Rwanda.
Wow.
I know.
See him every other weekend, do you?
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
that probably had to kill mom when he went over there.
It did. It did. He left college in 2012 and went to Africa.
Wow.
So he loves it.
That's the last thing I expected you to say.
I know.
I thought maybe
exactly.
He went to Texas or something.
Now that a baby's over there, we're going as much as we can.
And where's the daughter live?
She lives in Houston.
Back in Texas.
Yes. Yes.
Those of you guys are all Astros fans.
Go Astros.
Oh, my word. All right. Everything was going great until
that. I know, until you brought it up.
No, but you know what? Thank you, Lydia, for coming down and bringing
it up. And her husband is a former pitcher with the Nationals, Red Sox, Diamondbacks. So, right-handed pitcher, Garrett Mock.
Well, when Garrett comes to visit you, let's get him down here and we'll talk a little MLB.
That. You won't be able to shut him up, so you be careful what you ask for.
Well, I'd rather than have me fumble, bumble, stumble, I'd rather just turn the microphone over to somebody that can rock and roll.
He's the one.
Go get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, come back, and he's still talking.
Go home and give your dog a bath. You got plenty of time.
Well, Randy, I've thoroughly enjoyed this.
Me too. I thank you. We got to do this again.
Let's grab a bite to eat down on the beach, and then we'll talk about it. I want to come up to Plant City.
Love it.
I want to promote and support everything you're doing because it's what we do. I had this concept in 1997 up in Iowa to make a difference. Positive perspective from the peewees, the preps, the pros. And sharing stories like this is important. You've been at the pinnacle of success from a sports perspective, and now you're making a difference in people's lives. And that's
thank you.
And that's what we try to do here.
Thank you, man. You are too. Thank you for what you do.
All right, brother.
Take care.
All right. Thank you very much. And that is his lovely bride that came down to visit with him, and looking forward to building a long conversation and a relationship with him. Hey, Cameron, I'm going to throw you on just for a second, and then we're going to talk baseball. We got enough time here. Cameron Wembley stopped down, and you guys don't have to move. I'm going to talk to Cameron Wembley, of course, former FSU standout, number 13 pick in the 2007 draft by the Cleveland Browns, and then he played for the Oakland Raiders then, and, of course, then he played for the Cleveland Browns. And looking forward to our continuing relationship. Let me do a quick, we got about four conversations going on. Let me do a quick promo. Super Squares, the world's first football game show that puts you in the game. Get the free Super Squares app from Apple and Google Play stores. Register once and pick in the NFL games you plan on watching. Playing's as easy as 1, 2, 3, or 3, 2, 1. Make three predictions before kickoff and answer two of your Super Square questions. What can you win? Over $2 million up for grabs every weekend. It's the largest prize pool of any free app or TV game show in America. That's right. It's free because the brands that fund the massive prizes are brought to you by the sponsors. Super Squares pays millions. All you pay is attention. Cameron, I'm going to throw you on for a quick conversation since you were kind enough to come on over. How are you, my man? You would think by now, brother, you were a radio pro.
I got to turn the mic on. Okay, I'm good. Yeah, I was just coming from an NFL alumni event out in Orlando. They're having their Super Bowl golf out there, so it was great.
Oh, that's where Brandy's hiding today.
Yeah, man, it was great seeing. I didn't go out and golf today. I wanted to come back and be with you here on Sports Connection. But, no, it was great seeing guys last night. And I'm here now. I'm seeing FSU was up, so it's a good day so far.
You guys are playing the Sisters of the Poor, as I said.
Hey, man, but it's a homecoming, so we'll take the W.
Oh, it is homecoming. You need a W right now.
I believe it is homecoming. We'll take that.
So you were over. Give me some names, the guys that were out there hacking it up today that I would recognize.
Well, I didn't stay to see if they were hacking it up, but we had some NFL alumni people that I was speaking with, the main guy. The gentleman who runs the whole thing came down from National.
Beasley?
Beasley Reese came down from National. We had the pretty much a person from every chapter, every NFL alumni chapter
represented?
Came and represented. So it's the best golf teams from every chapter across the country all came together.
Oh, so it's a competition between the NFL cities.
Oh, they have a ring and everything. Yeah.
Wow.
They got a ring.
I bet they're competitive, man.
It was serious. Yeah. So, yeah, I was there and got to, you know, kind of meet new people. And they had a nice little setup. I got a Barry Sanders card that they had on the table.
Really?
Yeah, they have some customized NFL alumni helmets, and they did a whole presentation. I believe the golf course is Mission Hills, so it was nice.
Oh, Mission Hills is a great track.
Yeah, gorgeous, man. Oh, it was really nice. Food was awesome. Great conversation. So I was just meeting the different people who were associated with each NFL alumni chapter.
All right. Hey, I want to thank you for the work that your team did in our marketing piece, in the initial piece. I've got nothing but rave reviews about it for our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Man, that's just the start. We're looking to create, you know, some really good stuff. But I'm glad you like it, and you know, I just think it's going to be awesome. So we're glad that we can start out that way, and hopefully we can get more people engaged. And I mean, we're just creative, man. So we want to, you know, get all the feedback we can get. But so I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, as far as content, now that we're going to have the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection channel on Hoovy, we talk about content. Just a conversation here with Randy Grimes and everything he's doing with ex-athletes with addiction. And he's also involved in professional boxing out of Plant City.
Right. Yes,
we're gonna
awesome.
We're going to throw him onto our channel. So, again, content, reaching out. He's got a relationship with the NFL, knows Brandi Winans very well because of her battle with CTE.
Beautiful.
And then battle with addiction. So we're bringing every era of NFL participation to our platforms. And a lot of it I thank you, and of course the executive producer Barry Smith.
Oh yeah, man. All great people, and for me it's really about ongoing education. So a lot of players and families and friends can, you know, listen to these interviews and hopefully learn something, and you know, we're just adding value where we can, really.
All right, are you ready to talk a little baseball, Michael Lortz? We're going to wind down. I think we should talk a little baseball. Who are you pulling for? You've got the Astros, and then the winners of the Dodgers and the Braves.
Well, I would probably say the Dodgers. The reason why, you know.
I want the reason.
I like Magic Johnson just as a businessman.
He's an owner, I know.
He's an owner. So even though I didn't play, you know, NBA, I'm NFL, and you know, this we're talking MLB. I just like to see, like, him as an entrepreneur, all the stuff that he's done is been
really
cool.
With your mind, I knew you'd bring it back to business, of course. And Magic Johnson.
Former athlete in the ownership, so that was pretty cool.
And Magic Johnson has given back to the community and from a business perspective. So I applaud that. But, no, I want the Braves, Braves.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. I'll go ahead and give up the mic, but it's always great to be on the show.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you in just a second.
Yep.
That's Cameron Wembley. And now we'll finish off by talking a little baseball. And when you talk about Magic Johnson, from a business perspective, he's probably a billionaire right now, Cameron, right? Yeah, billionaire easily. He's got a piece of the Lakers. He's got a piece of the Dodgers. He's in development all over America. But what he does is he goes into these urban communities and revitalizes them. And that, again, is giving back, even though he's from Michigan, former Spartan. So we'll talk baseball.
Sure. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. It's been a while. Anyway, so let's talk about the arms on the Braves.
Yeah.
I mean, another reason I'm for the Braves, I love Charlie Morton.
Okay.
I can't believe that the Rays didn't renew his contract. That was actually would have been a push from a dollars and cents perspective.
You know,
they needed one ace on that team.
And they had Tyler Glass now until he blew his arm out.
I understand, but that could have won. Charlie Morton's a horse.
He is.
He's
but
consistent.
The team still won 100 games.
I agree.
You know,
I'm still not happy about. I understand the Snell situation, but nope. I'm not happy about the Charlie Morton situation.
No, understandable. You know, they tried to play it on the cheap, and, you know, when the Rays do that, the Rays do play on the cheap, and the Braves are like, hey, you live in Sarasota, you're a Southeast guy. You want to just – we train in Sarasota. The Braves train in Sarasota now.
I know.
So Charlie Morton was like, well, I'm trading one local team for another.
No, not a local team, but his family's right here.
His family's in Sarasota, so, you know, he and he's in Atlanta. That's an hour-and-a-half flight. Back home, you know.
No doubt. And he probably got tired. You would probably get tired of negotiating with the Rays.
Oh, the Rays. Yeah, you know, the more I uncover about how the Rays' business practices are.
I got some inside information, then we'll wrap this up as we're winding down our second hour. I got some inside information. When you're dealing with the Rays, You never make the first offer. This is a good business thing. You never say, oh, we want 150 grand. You ask them what the number is.
Really?
And they'll sit there and play poker all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, that's just the way. And that makes sense. So you can counter. You need a number. Yep. He said, because the Rays, they'll never come out and say, no, we want, it's 160.
You see what they're doing with the stadium.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, how much will you put in for a new stadium? And the Rays are like, well, it depends.
They don't want to put anything in.
They don't. They want the same amount of costs that they'll, you know, Cameron will appreciate this. We're talking business here. But the Rays want the same amount of costs that they have currently in a free stadium with higher revenue.
Not happening.
It ain't happening.
They were number 8 last year in net income in the entire league and 31st in attendance. I want to see what their net income is this year. Those TV rights have got to be just blowing it up based on their success.
The problem with TV rights, though, is you sign a TV contract with a regional sports network, in our case, Bally Sports.
Yep.
You're signing it for a 5 to 10 year deal.
So it doesn't matter your success or
their lack of. It doesn't, you know, because they're basing it on the ratings of when they signed it.
When they signed it.
And they're like, well, you might be good.
It can be adjusted. So the last 2 years, they would have killed it.
They would have. They would have. And their ratings are really good. But, you know, their previous contract they signed, when 2008-ish, that era,
yeah,
they were only making $20 million a year from Fox Sports Sun. And they were like, hey, we're bringing in some killer ratings. And you're only paying us $20 million. We need to go back to the table. We need to renegotiate this. So rumor is it's around $80 million now. But the Rays are like, oh, well, it, you know, we...
Well, that covers their payroll.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So payroll's done.
Yeah,
so
with
everything else is profit for them.
All right, yeah. And the...
Yeah, don't get me on that soapbox.
All right, I won't. So your call on who's going to win the World Series.
I want Atlanta to win. You know, and I rooted against Atlanta for years because I grew up a Mets fan. You know, those years where they had to get over the Maddox and Glavine Braves. But I cannot root for the Astros. All that
right.
Cheating scandal, oh, that turned me off to that team.
The cheaters. And as I said, people say, well, get over it. Quit calling them that.
I can't.
I can't. When you look at the history of everybody else that has done something against the purity of the game.
Sure.
And they are basically blackballed for the rest of their lives.
You know what, but when you look at what they actually did, the electronic devices and all that stuff.
It cracks me up.
The NFL does that.
You think?
The NFL, the guy's got his, you know, hey, call this play, and he's up in the booth, you know.
What do you think, Belichick?
Yeah.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying in the Bill Belichick
era. Oh, yeah. They're deflating footballs, and they're doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Didn't they have a video guy on the visitor side?
Exactly.
Like, videotaping.
Oh, my God, yeah. All right, man. I appreciate you coming across the bay and promoting your book. You guys need to talk about maybe having your book in Alex's little stand there.
Hey, we do need to talk about that. We'll talk about that soon, I'm sure.
I think we should. All right. Well, we're winding things down. As I said, it's now the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm excited about our alliance with Hoovy and myhoovy.com. Of course, Hoovy stands for fun and finish, and we're going to have a lot of fun with our new launches, a video channel. Our social media is going to be upgraded. I've got some young kids coming on that get the old man out of the way.
Those are always important.
Oh, yeah, you think? Got some new minds.
You got to be on TikTok.
Yeah, we're going that route, too. And of course, I'm not going to have my good buddy here, Kenny, can attest to that. I am a technologically buffoon.
Mike, I want to see you dance on TikTok.
Yeah. I'd have to go back to the heavy cocktailing days before that's going to happen. All right, so for Michael Lortz, Randy Grimes, that was a great conversation. Cameron Wembley and Alex, my man, Joe Berdow, Big Ed on the controls up there at Tan Talk. I'm Mike Rickard with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, thanking you for listening and wishing you and your families a great weekend. God bless you. God bless America. Go Bucks, and be sure to have a championship weekend.
Bucks Beaches, cold but park.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.